It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this program on Thursday, January 11th. We are recording it here at Biloxi City Hall, and we are recording it at 10:14 in the morning. We have a lot of things to talk about. We're hoping to be joined shortly by our special guest, Chief Administrative Officer Mike Leonard, and Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, our public affairs specialist, is tracking him down right now.
Even as we speak, she's running up and down the halls. You can't hear it in the background, yelling to find Mr. Leonard. And, you know, if this was television, you'd have a wonderful view.
Oh, yes. That's just what we need, that view. We've had a number of things that are taking place right now. Down on West Beach, as you're driving down Highway 90, if you look south of Veterans Avenue, you will see a huge derrick over there on the beach. We're not drilling for oil, we're not drilling for gas, but what you're seeing there are the first glimpses of what's going to be the West Biloxi Festival Boardwalk. This is going to be a ground level concrete walkway that's going to go essentially from where Shark Heads is right there at Rodenburg and essentially hook up the Coast Transit Center, which is over there, and go all the way down in the first phase to about Veterans Avenue. What this does is it ties together all of those restaurants that are in that area right there and gives people a good opportunity to enjoy the beautiful views of the beach, sunrise or sunset from that location. And this is just phase one. Phase two is designed to take it all the way down to Camellia, which is right there in front of Treasure Bay. So phase one will go from Shark Heads and Rodenburg there in the Coast Transit Center all the way down to Veterans. And then after that is done, go from Veterans all the way down to Camellia. And why are they doing the test piles if this thing is not going to be elevated? That was my question. And what they're doing is they have to have it anchored. In other words, they don't want this thing shifting around in that sand or from storms, et cetera, so it will be anchored. That's why they're doing the test piles right now. And once they do the test piles, Cecilia, we can't really say when the project is going to actually start, although this is sort of the start of it right here. But my understanding is what?
Mid to late January of this month is when they're planning on starting.
But it's going to depend on what they find with the test piles once you go so far down underneath the surface of the ground.
So basically they're going to do the test pilings to make sure that it will work and that it will be secure before they move forward.
Exactly, and how far down they need to go, et cetera. Anything else?
And they plan to have it complete by this summer.
Now, you went out to Pops Ferry Causeway Park yesterday, and what did you find out there?
Well, at Pops Ferry Causeway Park, I'm sure everybody's seen all the progress that has been going on out there. Of course, the blue roof that has recently been put on the bait shop. Well, the bait shop is about 90% complete. They have railings and the boardwalk mostly complete as well. They are actually working on, if I say this right, the paving, the removing the...
Removing the asphalt and putting down new asphalt. Mike Leonard joins us, the Chief Administrative Officer of the city. Good morning.
Good morning, all.
Now, we are talking right now about a project that's really starting to come out of the ground, and you can see it along that waterfront, and I'm talking about the Pops Ferry Causeway Park. It's beautiful.
It is. People have told me that it's the best fishing spot in Back Bay. I'll find out soon enough.
Now, you're working on something real important that's going to help that operation work out there.
Well, we're about to put an RFP on the street to see who would be interested in running the bait shop.
Mm-hmm. And this bait shop is, as I recall, about 1,000 square feet. It's elevated about 18 feet off of the ground. And we want to thank Governor Bryant. This was one of the first projects. They were looking with BP money. They were looking for some of the first projects that came that were shovel ready. And Governor Bryant steered that money towards Biloxi to say, go forward with this project. The city had already done a lot of work out there, but this brings it all home. So what else has been happening with you, Mike Leonard?
Well, we'll see how this goes, but we're going to be rolling out our spring break traffic management plan to the City Council this coming Tuesday. It's as you know, we were, to put it mildly, overwhelmed with 70,000 attendees a year ago. So the scary part of that was not the attendees. The scary part was that we were the traffic gridlock and it did not enable us to get emergency vehicles, fire, police, and ambulance moving through the city. And in particular, that put not only the citizens at risk, but the attendees of the spring break, Coliseum and everywhere. So we can't let that happen again. So we're going to roll out this plan, and we're going to ask the city council for the funding to do the plan. And basically, it involves turning Highway 90 into two one-way roads. So the two eastbound lanes will turn into one eastbound lane, the other one being blocked for emergency vehicles, and then the two westbound lanes will become one westbound lane for traffic and the other one for emergency vehicles. That'll be over a two-day period. To do that, it's going to take a lot of cones, a lot of barricades, and a lot of extra police, and we're going to be asking the city council to pay the bill.
Is there a certain area that this is going to be in?
Really, we're talking about between I-110 here in Biloxi and DeBees Road.
And for those longtime residents of Biloxi and the Gulf Coast, this should be nothing new. We saw this the second year, and Mike Leonard said that we were overwhelmed. I remember that very first year when we were overwhelmed. I like to say we were inundated last year because that first year was just so overwhelming. Mike, I know you've been talking to the police chief, and you've been whittling down numbers. Are you ready to say how much it is, or do you want to wait to speak to the council members first?
Well, we'll roll it out to the president of the council this afternoon. Really, we're talking about $250,000 that it's going to take for additional police and the acquisition of the equipment that we need to do that. Of course, that equipment can be reused in the future for Cruising the Coast, Blue Angels, air shows, or whatever. These are things that are just additional barricades and lane markers and so forth that we don't own today. We will get a lot of help from the county and from surrounding cities, but not all that comes free.
And we say all of this with we want everybody to remember this is about public safety, and we do the same things as needed for Mardi Gras, for Cruising the Coast, for any other, for Scraping the Coast, for any event. We have a traffic plan that is based on the activities we have seen with that event. And so that's how we learn from what happened in the past, and we plan accordingly for the future. And what's hard about this one is there is no general organizer, and it's kind of all over the map, would you say?
We're only just guessing at the attendance. We're doing that based on who was here last year. Mm-hmm. And this one lane each direction basically is intended to allow the students and attendees of spring break to be able to still cruise, but it'll be a little more difficult, and it'll be slower, and it really encourages them to try and maybe stay put and enjoy all the activities in one place and not go up and down the coast.
A question, Vincent. It's going to cost us about $250,000. Okay, how much revenue does the city make by having this event? Just curiosity.
Well, the person who's in charge of making sure we have money and making sure that money's put in the right place, and who the mayor is tasked with essentially running the day-to-day operations of this city, would be Mike Leonard.
The sales tax that we take in during a two-day event like this is well short of the $250,000 it's going to take us to manage it.
But hopefully it's going to be something that everybody will enjoy, and that will be without incident. And the good thing is the value that you get down the road from people talking about how they enjoyed visiting Biloxi, and people will come back, not necessarily all on one weekend. So
the public relation value is through the roof.
So what else is happening, Mike Leonard? I know you are probably real happy because it's been quiet here the last 2 days. You have not heard me hollering with the mayor or vice versa. He has been out of town.
There was an article in the paper a few days ago about a shooting that occurred very late at night outside a bar called Sideways here on Lemieux Street. The city is in a legal battle, shall we say, right now about the public nuisance that place provides, and we're trying to get it closed. And I'd probably be more in the press about that real soon.
Excellent, excellent. Mayor Gilich, Mike went right over that. Mayor Gilich is in Jackson, and there was the Mississippi or the Gulf Coast legislative reception that took place in Jackson last night. And he's been up there for 2 days meeting with state leaders about some of the issues that are important in Biloxi. We seem to have a lot of things going on right now in Biloxi, and we've been talking about them for a long time.
Well, Vincent, just to flash back to your last comment, you noticed in the newspaper this morning a discussion about the fact that perhaps perhaps was not in the article, but I'm saying perhaps our legislative group from the coast are going to get together this year to try and work towards getting our share of the BP money. I don't think they were as well organized as they are this year, and they seem to be committed to doing that. Are things happening? Oh, my goodness. This is the year that is. By God, 2018, all of these things we've been talking about, whether it's a Hilton Garden Inn going up, whether it's a Waffle House going up on the beach, whether it's a La Quinta going up, whether it's a new water and sewer service to several hundred residences in Wool Market, and the opening of Howard Avenue. All of these things are all teed up now. They're ready to go. They're either on the street or about to be on the street to bid, and we'll see dirt turning. We'll see brick and mortar stuff happening this year, things that we've been talking about. It's going to be an exciting year.
Did you find that things could happen a lot quicker in the military and whenever you were a private contractor as opposed to what you've seen as chief administrative officer?
Well, you have to be patient. You have to be patient and have a plan and just keep plugging away at that plan. That's the key. We'd all like things to happen faster, but we have a process. And as long as we have a plan and we know where we're going, there's the old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And the mayor has a lot of ambition and a lot of ideas, and we're trying to plug away in the direction that he wants to go.
Now, while we talk about all the big things that are coming up in the mayor's vision, someone here, Mike Leonard, has been working on sifting through volumes of annual reports. What are you finding in these annual reports, Celia Dobbs-Walton?
Well, of course, it's a recap from 2017, and things are looking forward to 2018. And just as you've been saying here, there's a lot of things that are going to be happening in 2018. A lot of projects moving forward. Like I said, the mayor has been speaking about a lot of things, but this year we're going to see things like the boardwalk. The South contract is about to start, so there's a lot of things going on.
But what in the world is that great big old piece of equipment sitting down there on where Veterans Avenue intersects Highway 90? That's what I said to myself the other couple of days ago. What in the world is that? Well, we know what it is now. That's the very beginning of the West Biloxi Boardwalk, the boardwalk that will carry people from Veterans Avenue all the way to White Avenue and past Rodenburg. Those big pilings going in are the pilings that will support and connect the boardwalk to keep it from going somewhere if there's a storm again.
See, now Mike touched on something that I passed over earlier. I said that it was going from like Coast Transit and at Rodenburg right there, and it's going to first phase down to Veteran. But Mike touched on something that is so important because Mayor Gilich has been talking about this boardwalk that could go all along the front waterfront of Biloxi. But what Mike nailed on was that some of it's already there. What Mayor Gilich wants to do is make it contiguous to where it would be one just beautiful walkway along our waterfront. So, see, what do we have happening this weekend?
Well, this weekend, of course, is we have a list. Excuse me, about to drop my papers. A list of Martin Luther King Jr. events. They start Friday with... give me one moment to look at my thing. They start Friday with an event in Gulfport. Now, first of all, I do want to say, because we've had a little bit of confusion on this, some comments back and forth, that isn't it correct that every year the parade goes back and forth between Biloxi and Gulfport?
Yes, in even years it's held in Gulfport, in odd years it's held in Biloxi, and in those odd years when it's held in Biloxi, that's when they also have the Battle of the Bands.
And this year it is held in Gulfport, so a good bit of the events are taking place in Gulfport. Starts again Friday, this Friday at 7 p.m. With From Where We've Come, a gospel concert at Grace Temple Baptist Church in Gulfport. Then on Saturday, January the 13th at 9 a.m., there'll be an event called Where is the Village? It will be at the Croc Center here in Biloxi. Then on Sunday, January the 14th, there will be an event titled Where Do We Go From Here? It's an inspirational and awards program that will be at the Biloxi Civic Center. We're going to have, of course, Mr. James Crowell will be speaking. We'll have Dr., if I pronounce it right, Persharon Dixon. And the keynote speaker will be Dr. Corey Wiggins. And then, of course, Monday, January the 15th, will be the Martin Luther King Day Parade, which will be held in downtown Gulfport. And I believe that starts at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. That is it. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We're hoping people get out there. Also, you're going to see our city cruise. We had 12th night the other night. So ever since then, it was a signal that Mardi Gras is coming up. That was the official beginning of the carnival season. And we've got crews that have been out putting up new sign poles. They're going to be moving the barricades and everything else, the bleachers, to where they need to be. Our first parade is going to be Neptune. And Neptune is going to be on Saturday, February 10th. It's going to be at 5:30. And then on Tuesday, February 13th, is when we're going to have the big one. The big enchilada, Gulf Coast Carnival, is going to be rolling through downtown Biloxi. That pretty much wraps up everything, Mike, unless you had something else you wanted to mention.
Does that mean Neptune is a little enchilada?
Yes, exactly right. Exactly. Thank you, Mike.
They wouldn't like that.
No, they would not at all. And I also want to say that I'm glad you brought that up, because Neptune does something every year where they bring in a grand marshal. This year they're going to have Matt Luke, the Gulfport born and raised coach of the Ole Miss Rebels, is going to be the Grand Marshal of Neptune. And we're just so proud of the growth that Neptune has seen since they brought this parade along several years ago. How was that, Mike? Did I dig out of that hole?
Good shot. Good try.
Okay, Cecilia, anything else? And tell people where they need to go.
Just one thing, that on Monday, Monday at 11 a.m., the Oral Keith Museum of Art will reopen its Mississippi Sound Welcome Center. It will be open to the public, and the Welcome Center has been closed since August of last year due to an electrical fire.
Yeah, I want to say that's the official opening where they're actually going to cut a ribbon. If you want to avoid those crowds of that ribbon-cutting ceremony, go down there right now, today, as you're listening to this, and see. That is the only part of the Oro Keefe where you can walk into for free. Like all other museums, there is an admission fee, but in that Welcome Center, which was built with transportation money, since it's a Welcome Center, the first thing you don't want to do is charge people when they walk in the door. What else?
That's it. Just as always, go to our website at biloxi.ms.us for a list of information.
You've been listening to City Desk News and Views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.